minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome into the whole show, Northern Colorado. Ready to rock and roll on this Thursday. We got the Thursday night special coming up in the third hour today. I'm 1-1. I got backdoored last week. Yeah, by the Chargers. Meaningless touchdown that didn't do anything. And Herbert, you know, Herbie was like playing on broken lit ribs, but yet, they weren't broken, but it sure seemed like it. Or did he break one? Did he break a rib?
Believe that he's dealing with some tissue fractures, which is like the tissue in between your ribs.
Oh.
Very painful.
Oh, yeah. He looked like he was in pain, but got backdoored there. So that's not going to happen again. I feel really good about tonight's Thursday night special. Not like I'm really excited about the game. Cleveland and Pittsburgh on Amazon Prime. Al Michaels and Curb Herbstreit. What'd you think of the broadcast? Did you like it? Like, I love Al Michaels, but it felt weird. It looked weird.
Yeah, it was just a little strange for me. I associate Kirk so much with college football.
And yeah.
I get maybe he's stretched a little too thin in terms of his duties because he has a Thursday night game. And then I'm sure all day Friday he's on ESPN, whatever. Then he's got a full college game day on Saturday morning. Then he's got to call a game Saturday night. So I feel Kirk's a little stretched out, and maybe that affects his broadcasting.
Yeah, day. And it was just kind of clunky. The commercials were weird
on Amazon.
Yeah.
I was going to stream it, but I'm like, no, let me see what Amazon looks like. Went through it the legal way, and it was just weird.
It was weird, and you know, you just wonder. In the grand scheme of things, did I say Kirby? Kirby?
Yeah, you said Kirby.
Herbie, Kirby, they rhyme. Are you calling him Curb Herbstreit? That would probably be it then, Noob. Yeah. We're going to now call him Curb.
Herbie Kirkstreit.
Kirked. There's Kirked Cousins. There's Kirby Herbstreit and Herbie. You know, there's a lot of things like that out in the world. But we got a Thursday night special coming up. It's in Cleveland tonight, right?
Yes.
They got the elf on the thing?
Brownie.
What is that about? Are you proud? Would you be happy with that if you're a Browns fan? You got a giant elf in the middle of your field.
So it's a little traditional. What I read, that's one of their first original logos was for the Cleveland Brownies.
Yeah.
And so Brownie the Elf was just, you know, back in the day, they used to just give out, like, hey, come up with a design and you will be an NFL team logo for the next 20 years. And random people would just submit something and local newspapers like, yeah, we like the little elf guy.
Is that going to stay?
I don't know.
Or is it
I feel
just
like
for
Cleveland
this year?
Does this like just put the helmet on the field, like, or just do the NFL logo like other teams do?
Yeah, the whole elf thing in the middle of your field, striking fear into the hearts of your opponents.
The Browns, the elf on the field, but the fans is the dog pound.
Browns are supposed to be dogs.
They should
right?
be bulldogs.
Yeah, they're dogs, but they have an elf. Well, it's like the Chiefs have a coyote or something. What is that thing?
Yeah, he's a coyote.
Just
or
a
jackal.
Fat little jackal coyote thing running around. Weird. I mean, at least the Broncos have a Bronco.
Miles.
And then another Bronco. And again, I know there were super fans, but they weren't actually like the true mascot. Barrel Man, amazing, but super fan. And then the guy that dressed up like a leprechaun. Like, those aren't like owned by the Broncos saying, hey, these are our mascots. These are super fans.
Yeah, you have Miles, the mascot,
and then
Thunder.
Thunder. Love Thunder. Hopefully Thunder's running around a lot on Sunday night. The Broncos set to go up against San Francisco 49ers. Sunday night football. They were favored before we knew about Trey Lance. And now they are 1.5-point dogs at home. Sunday night football. Cannot wait. Tirico, Chris Collinsworth. You know they're going to be like really honed in on how the fans react. This is a story now. Some of you want to act like it's not a story. This is absolutely a story. You know my thoughts on this. I don't like that the crowd counted down. I get why. I understand it. But that was adorable. Now let's stop. If crap continues to happen again on Sunday night, then you know what? I guess I can't blame you. But it's only going to make things worse. At that point, you're trying to figure out a call at the line of scrimmage. This is the thing with a gigantic fan base, with a gigantic stadium full of fans, is you give them a little power, and they will go with that. You know fans are going to this game are looking at the national media going, hey, they're talking about us. This is a passionate fan base, as you should be.
I expect them to be counting down from the first play.
From the very first play.
They're going to do it just because it's a story.
I absolutely believe that. If the Broncos don't get the ball off before 10 seconds, they're going to start in at 10 seconds. And I'm telling you, if you're going to the game, don't do it. Don't buy into it. Now, again, if you see the same crap that we've been seeing, then by all means, second half of the game, start counting down. Start booing. Like I said, I'm not really a boo guy. Even when I went to the games well before this show ever existed, you know, and I sat in stands amongst the common folk, I did not boo. I'm just not a booer. Did you ever boo?
I love to boo.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I just
to have that many people agree with you on one, like, particular player or person, it's just
boo.
Like,
God,
we all don't like you.
Boo this man. Yeah, I've never been a booer or whatever. But we'll see what happens, man. I mean, you know what's going to be dramatic? Is if they're counting down, and they're all in unison, it's loud, and Russell Wilson goes up to the line and starts trying to quiet the crowd. Then we got Russell versus the crowd. Does the crowd quiet down? Does the crowd get louder? I mean, I don't know if it's going to come to that, but...
I don't know if Russ has time to do that.
Probably not.
Got to be on the ball.
Here's the thing, man. If that happens, crowd starts counting down. You know what Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth are going to do? They're going to do this. Silence. And they're going to let the crowd count. And if Russ goes and tries to quiet the crowd, because his response the other day, I didn't think he was, like, very enthused.
He didn't answer the question, really.
Well, and he doesn't really answer questions.
No, guys, it's all good.
It's all good, man. I
watching
mean,
his
yeah,
press card, he crowd. Just smiles at everything. Like, do you have any sadness or
no.
distraught?
He's
Russell?
Not. He's like the guy from Elf, Will Ferrell. Elf, the actual Elf. What is his name? Buddy?
Buddy.
He's Buddy. He's like, you know, I love you, I love you, I love you. Like, he's that guy. You know, the clip of him on the sidelines, like, telling the defense, hey, run a pass, run a pass, run a pass.
Hey, 56, let him know, run a pass.
Let him know, man, let him know.
50, I'm on the sideline, Russ. What do you want me to do?
I'm just sitting here, bro.
Right next to you.
What am I supposed to do? I don't want to yell.
I'm watching my tablet.
Oh, I don't. Is he too much for people? Is that just too, like, I can see, if you're a certain character, you can be annoyed by that. I can see it. Now, I like it, but I'm also not on the team. I don't think. They haven't called yet.
If he was performing at a higher level, I know he's put up good numbers and all that, but if he was doing like the big long throws and the long scrambles and all of that,
yeah,
probably it doesn't faze you as much, but when you're frustrated with the whole team and the coach, it's every little thing drives you crazy.
Did you hear the press conference yesterday? Did you hear his? And Nathaniel Hackett's I thought was pretty good. I catch myself getting caught up in what he has to say. He's very well spoken. He's very apologetic. Like he seems to say the right things. Now, will he actually learn from all the mistakes in his first two games? And I was talking to the morning show guys, and I said, yeah, I think these are obvious enough mistakes where they are fixable. Like, Angel, if let's say you accidentally hit the break button right now and took us to a commercial break, wouldn't you say that's an easy fix? Like, you're like, dude, I just won't hit that again. I know not to hit that button. Or you left the microphone off. You didn't turn the microphone off. And that's a mistake. So you look back at this show and you go, dang, dude, I turned the microphone off when he was still talking, or he didn't turn it on. I went to a commercial break randomly. Wouldn't you look at that and go, those are two easy fixes. Those are just don't push that button at that time.
Sure.
But if it was like, you know, Angel, you're just, everything's going wrong. You just can't seem in big stuff. You know, hey, every single day. My point is, these things that are happening, yes, they're big, but they're easy fixes. It's the NFL. You mean to tell me Montrell Washington's not going to go out on a punt return again? Like, I've never seen that. I'm sure it's happened, but you don't see that very often. That stuff has been now shoved in their brains as far as what we've been doing these past 2 weeks. I just think all of them, most of them, are obvious fixes. And that's why I'm confident that They will get it figured out. Listen, if you're worried today, like I'm worried. I'm going into this game worried. I'm hopeful, but I'm definitely worried based on what I see. I don't quickly just go, it's going to be fine. But I do think that the issues that he's had are relatively minor as far as fixability. Should be able to fix those. Should be able to decide not to kick a 64-yard field goal in Seattle as opposed to not kicking a 57-yarder at Mile High.
You kind of mentioned it this morning on Good Morning NoCo, kind of just he made adjustments from week one to week two. You saw some things improve, some things are still kind of there. Going into week three, you got more stuff to work on. Are you worried there's other things that could pop up while you're fixing the communication, the play clock, something else shows up?
That's a concern, too, because he runs the ball in the red zone twice in like 5 minutes in that Seattle game. And what happened? Two fumbles in a row. Very rare that that's going to happen again. But it happened. Well, don't you think that affected his play calling the next week? He didn't run the ball once inside the five. Did he? I don't think he did. Pretty sure he didn't. I know on that first drive when we thought Cortland Sutton had the touchdown, they threw it two more times after that and didn't get in. And then you saw him, they go out to kick a 50-yard field or whatever it was. What was it, like 52 or something? And it's a delay of game, moves it back to 57. He made it in the practice run, and then he decides not to kick it. Wasn't that the 64-yard field goal miss playing into his mind? I just think a lot of things you can outcoach yourself, and he did that. He let last the week before get to him. Now I believe you even it out. He evens it out. Does that mean they beat the Niners on Sunday? I don't know. I don't know yet. Picks are tomorrow. Picks are Friday. Got to recover. Got to recover, Angel. And just do not let me pick the Buffs to cover ever again. What are they, 22? Is it 22 now to UCLA? All right, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly real quick. Good, the bad, the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Well, the good, my man, is it's been a great couple of months for Denver sports. You got Nikola Jokic locked up. You got Russell Wilson locked up. Some of you are already weird about that, but you got him. And now the Avalanche have locked up Nathan MacKinnon to an 8-year contract extension worth $100.8 million. Average annual value of $12.6 million. I love it. You know, and I wasn't in yesterday, but I want to bring that up today because that's a big deal. My poll question, I'm just going to use the same one we put up yesterday, Method Flow Products poll question. Who's the bigger star? MacKinnon, Joker, or Russell? To us, to the state of Colorado. Joker's a 2-time MVP. Nathan MacKinnon is now a Stanley Cup champ with the Avs. Russell's won a Super Bowl, but with the Seahawks. Who's the bigger star at this point? So go vote at theholeshow.com. That one is posted. The bad is, check this one out. The refs for this game, for Sunday night's game, Sean Hockley, his crew called the second most penalties, 13.12 per game in 2021, to Carl Sheffer's 13.9. The Broncos have been called for 25 penalties in the first two games. Well, if you're going to clean it up, now would be a good time, because those guys are looking to call penalties. They're wanting to. They like throwing that flag. The ugly is the list of injuries that continues to mount up for the Denver Broncos. And this was the whole point of not playing in the preseason. And here we are. We're waiting every day to wonder who's going to play, who's out. And that's a scary deal. That's a tough deal. That's just another criticism that we have of Nathaniel Hackett. Pat Surtain's questionable. Josie Jewell's questionable. Caden Stern replacing Justin Simmons is questionable. DJ Jones is questionable. Jerry Jeudy is questionable. KJ Hamler is questionable. Randy Gregory is questionable. Billy Turner is questionable. Quinn Meinerz is doubtful. We know Justin Simmons is on injured reserve. Greg Dulcich is on injured reserve. We still haven't really seen him. I really want to see this guy. 20 minutes after the hour, we'll get to our poll question on the other side. How big of a... I mean, this, what a time to be alive, man. You've got Nathan MacKinnon, Nikola Jokic, and Russell Wilson locked up. Is this between three sports? Three. I'm saying three. I'm stressing three here. The most superstars we've had in one state? Now, like, spread out through three teams? Because I know that Broncos in the late 90s, it was John Elway, Terrell Davis, Shannon Sharpe, some, I mean, superstars. But, I mean, in those years, really with John Elway, in the 90s, the Nuggets didn't have that. Early 90s was Dikembe. The Avs, of course, have had their superstars, but just spread out, like, where each team has a guy. Not just, like, because the Avs had, like, four or five guys. Broncos had four or five guys that were considered big-time stars. The Nuggets haven't had, obviously, an MVP before, so just spread out. You know, each team has one mega superstar. It's kind of cool. 21 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk more about that. I also have Kevin Lytle on, another player leaving Colorado State. And this one is kind of sending up a little bit of an alarm compared as opposed to what we talked about last week. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cephalu Fow, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show. Tell you about No Limit Collectibles. They do these trade nights once a month on a Saturday night. They did their last one on September 17th, but you should go follow their Facebook page if you're interested. Sports memorabilia. It's free entry. Cards, Pokemon even. Free drinks, free pizza. You just go in 5:30 to 9. People are going to have stuff. You're going to have stuff. You might maybe trade. You can sell. You can buy stuff. Whatever. It's a great opportunity. No Limit Collectibles. If you're a sports fan, you know you have sports memorabilia. You know you have stuff, or you want stuff. No Limit Collectibles has it. Buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Beginner's luck. Brady, are NFL coaches out thinking themselves on this injury jog-through thing? Maybe the pendulum needs to swing more towards starters getting a full game or more in the preseason and having their bodies prepared for tackle football. FYI, Joker is the biggest star. Two-time MVP. Well, in my opinion, he is. He's not like a star because he doesn't do all the videos and the Mr. Unlimited and, you know, he doesn't do any of that stuff. He's not in commercials. But as far as, like, who's the best? Who's the best? How about that? Who's the best within their sport? Like, who's the best at what they do? It's not Russ. That's a tough one between Nathan MacKinnon and Nikola Jokic. Nathan's certainly paid like the best player in hockey right now. Is he the best player in hockey?
I don't think he's the best player in hockey.
I mean, he's in competition on his own team with Cale Makar, isn't he?
He's top three.
Is Nikola Jokic the best player in the NBA?
In my opinion, yes.
Yeah, I mean, they all said so.
Twice.
They all said so twice. So, to me, it's Joker. Yes, he's the biggest star. I was in Denver yesterday, and you know, one of the counters to that was, football is the biggest sport. True, it is, no doubt. But Russell's won a game for Denver. A game. Nathan MacKinnon has won a Stanley Cup. Nikola Jokic has won two MVPs. So, it's to me, it's Joker. I agree. Talking about the coaches, yeah, I think they're out thinking themselves. They need to play in the preseason. It just makes sense. You got the Lonster on the hotline. Lonnie, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. What's on your mind?
You know, it's great to get you back on the air again.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you. It's good to be back in up in Northern Colorado. Spent some time in Denver the last few days, but good to be back up here.
Okay, you know what? The station wasn't the same without you on the air there for 2 days.
I appreciate it, Lonster. What's on your mind, my man?
Hey, on this, on your poll question here.
Yeah, who's the biggest star?
What, I'm going to go with the Joker.
Yeah, I think that's not a shock because he's a two-time MVP. I wouldn't argue with you if you're going to say Nathan McKinnon, though. I might argue with you if you're going to say Russ.
Yeah, really. I mean, Perez is going to have to. This whole team's going to have to prove something here Sunday night.
Yeah, big game coming up.
I mean, if they cut down on the penalties, I think they can win this thing. But if they start screwing up like they've done here, we're going to be in a heap of trouble.
You're going to be counting down the play clock, aren't you, Lonster?
I'm going to be counting a few other things besides that.
Hey, I got a special request for you. I don't want to know what lunch is today. What are you planning for Sunday night football? Do you have any plans for me? Throw it at me.
Oh,
give me an idea. Give me an idea.
I think we're good. Well, we usually go down to my sister-in-law's family and have dinner with them.
What are they going to have?
You know what? It's a surprise. It's whatever they... I think we're going to maybe pick stew or something like that.
Okay. All right. Stew. Put some hot sauce on that and away you go.
Yeah, you better believe it.
Lonster, appreciate you, man.
Hey, I appreciate you too.
All right. 31 minutes after the hour. Coming up next, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. Another player has left the Colorado State program. Now, this was a few days ago. We talked about it a bit, but we're eager to get Kevin's opinions on this. And this is a player that was in Nevada with Jay Norvell. 3 seasons in Nevada. Came over from Nevada because of Jay Norvell. Melquan Stove? He's a big, kind of we thought was going to be a big part of this team. We'll talk to Kevin about it next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in to The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. With me now on our First Advantage Hotline is Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, I briefly hit this earlier in the week. I've been running around different spots throughout, but of course, wanted to get your thoughts as we start this thing right off the bat. Last week, of course, we had some players leaving the program, and we kind of said, okay, these make sense. This one has me perplexed. Melquan Stovall, who was one of the Nevada guys that came over, is now leaving the program as well.
Yeah, this one definitely came as a surprise when Jay Norvell announced that Monday. It was one of those, he almost do an audio double take of, wait, what, did I just hear that correctly? Because, yeah, Melquan was one of the guys that came over from Nevada. You know, he played 3 years there under Jay Norvell. You know, obviously they had to have a pretty good relationship to play 3 years for a guy and then transfer with him. But yeah, Melquan has left, kind of a curious situation. He was second on the team in catches, you know, probably not as many, or definitely not as many as he wanted, because it sounds like that's, a part of why he wanted to go. He wants a different role. But, you know, I'm not sure how much bigger role they can get. Obviously, part of it is just the offense is really struggling. So I'm sure that's frustrating to everyone involved, but definitely a surprising departure. Like you said, the other ones probably not huge shocks. But this one definitely, was a surprise to myself and I think everyone.
Yeah, well, and again, because, you talk about the history he had with Coach Norvell and then the decision to come to Colorado State with all of that. So I'll ask you again, kind of like I did last week, is this a red flag or is this just a player that's seeing, oh, this is a growing offense. I thought we'd be further ahead. I want to be with I want to put myself in a better position. I don't know that I want to grow with a young quarterback like Clay Millen. You tell me, is this any kind of a red flag?
Yeah, and I don't think it's a huge red flag, more just a mark of the reality of where the program is right now. If it's, they're not great right now. I still think they're going to improve as the season goes on and end up decent, but especially, for some of these veteran guys, you can sit there and think, do I want to be part of sort of a rebuild or do I want to go try and win somewhere? Maybe Melquan thought that they could, would be further along at this point than they are and wanted to go elsewhere. I don't think it's a massive red flag. I mean, I've called my top sources just to check in and say, is there a bigger problem in the locker room? And the answer, consistently has been no, there really isn't. Obviously everyone's frustrated with losing, but it's not, fans, I think, like to think, we see some of these departures that are just, you know, fist fights breaking out in the locker room, you know, every minute, and that's not the case. But yeah, definitely a surprising one, no doubt.
Yeah, well, and again, I say it all the time. Every time we see the story, it's the nature of college football. It's the nature of college sports in general. You know, you have to take some of these with a grain of salt. Doesn't mean it's not unfortunate. You know, I think Rams fans would have liked to see Stovall, because I know you've talked about him a lot. Like, he could be a big, big piece to this puzzle. So obviously fans are upset to see a decent player go, but it's the nature of the beast. If a player is not thrilled with his playing time or production or direction, yeah, they can go.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I kind of wrote about basically just the logistics of this and why you see departures right now, you know, early in the season. I think fans still aren't used to that, but it's all about the transfer rules and the redshirt rules. If you leave before you play a fifth game, you can use the year as a redshirt. So that's why you see people, you know, kind of in this first month, kind of September, you know, if they decide they don't like their role or you know, they, you know, want a different position or a different team, whatever, they depart right now so that they can save this year of eligibility. So that's why you see these. And frankly, I would not be shocked if we have more departures from this CSU football team before the Nevada game. Jay Norvell was pretty blunt yesterday, saying, you know, guys that don't, you know, want to do what we're doing and, you know, meet the standard, you know, we're demanding, you know, they'll eliminate themselves basically from their role. And so that, to me, you know, reading between the lines felt like a hint of, you know, it's not impossible to think that there might be more departures, and he wants to mold this roster in his light.
Well, and it's about building a culture now. And again, it's so early on in this process that, yeah, you, just like you said, you got to caution fans with this. Slow down. The sky's not falling. It's rough. I said it kind of last week. I was like, I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. Now, maybe, Kevin, we start to see the better happening. They have, and I'm not counting this as a win. I'm not yet. I'm not just going to chalk it up as easy. Sac State's coming to town. The next 4 weeks, though, or I guess they have a bye, too. So the next 5 weeks could be fairly positive for CSU.
Yeah, and that's the hope. You know, Jay Norvell has talked about that. You know, sometimes when you're, you know, doing one of these rebuilds, you almost have to bottom out before you start going back up, both in, you know, kind of wins and losses and even just production within the system. And, you know, I think we're, you know, seeing that with the offensive. Obviously, it's not very good right now. I don't think any of us think that, you know, long term it's going to be an unsuccessful offense. So, yeah, I think you have to hope that this has kind of reached the bottom and now the climb back up starts. And, yeah, as I said, you know, talking to Tanner about it on his show the other day, the mood could change a lot in 2 weeks, you know, if they, or 3 weeks, like you say, with the bye. If they beat Sac State and go beat Nevada after the bye, people will be feeling pretty good. Now, the flip side, of course, is if you were to lose both those, people will be feeling really bad. But yeah, there is certainly a chance here, though, for the next month or so that the mood could really turn. And we'll see. I mean, Sac State's obviously the first test in that. And no matter how the game goes, you know, this is now entering sort of the winnable part of the schedule where the team, you know, at least has a chance, you know, a more realistic chance, I should say, to create some positive momentum. You know, obviously never say never, but the Michigan-Washington State games are always highly unlikely to be very good momentum builders.
Did you see, I mean, what were some of your takeaways from that Washington State game? Did you leave that game going, all right, I'm starting to see, and I know the score didn't show it, but did you see a few things that you liked that makes you feel a little bit more optimistic even for this season?
Not really.
No.
I mean, to be honest, you know, there are a couple. Justice Ross Simmons, the freshman, he looked good. I think we'll see more of him. You know, the defense came on late in the second half, but they've just got to start better. You know, they're just non-competitive because of these poor starts. Again, I don't think that's necessarily foreboding what's going to happen the entire season. You know, I keep saying I do truly think this team will improve, you know, as the year goes on. But they've, you know, again, we keep repeating the same thing. They've got to figure out the offensive line. It is a cascading effect. You know, that first drive against Washington State on third down, they're in max protect, and Clay Millen gets immediately sacked, had absolutely no chance. You just can't have errors like that.
That's the tough part. It's hard to do much when you're running for your life, when your offensive line is just not there. Are you seeing the growth with Clay Millen? Because we know, whether it's this year or the next few years, the idea is to really build around him.
Yeah, I mean, Clay, I know some fans, for unknown reasons, kind of want to put some of this on him. And obviously the numbers aren't great as far as, you know, scoring production. But the guy is just getting destroyed. When he is throwing it, he's very accurate. I think he's playing well. And I cannot believe he's been able to last through these games. Some of the shots he's taking are pretty incredible. You know, even the touchdown pass against Washington State, he got absolutely lit up. You know, there are several times a game where I look down, I'm watching, and I'm thinking, oh boy, that's the one he's not going to get up from. And he somehow keeps doing it. So yeah, I am as or more confident in Clay Millen's future now than I was 3 weeks ago, despite, you know, the scoring totals not being very good. You know, I fully believe that if you can get him protected, he's going to be able to start putting up some big numbers.
Kevin, it's interesting. You know, I asked him on Monday. I talked about his toughness, and he kind of said, he's like, I honestly didn't know. Like, I didn't know how I was going to handle being hit in college football. But I think he was kind of like pleasantly surprised with himself. Like, when you see he gets knocked out and then suddenly he's right back up. It's you got a lot of respect for this guy for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of said the same thing in our Monday press conference I guess I've kind of proven something to myself, which is good. And, you know, that goes back to what we were talking to, you know, at the end of August of, you know, everything looks good about Clay, but we don't know how he'll react when he gets hit and things like that. You know, granted, we didn't think it was going to be this much, but again, he hadn't played in 2 years, and let's be real, he was on a really good high school team. You know, I haven't watched all the tape, but I'm guessing he was not getting licked that often. I'm guessing he was, you know, pretty well protected. So it's very, very new, but man, he has responded well, and, you know, it's got to change. You don't really want, you know, the point of pride of your quarterback to be that he keeps getting up from getting smoked. Yeah. But I think it is a good sign that he has so far. But this is also not sustainable. I mean, if he gets hit like this all year, it won't be all year because there's absolutely no way he can last.
Kevin, any idea of what the turnout's going to look like on Saturday?
I haven't checked in on number toll. Ag Day does always pull well. It should be a nice day, so I'm guessing it'll be similar first game, you know, high 20K, you know, 27, 28, 29. And this is, you know, we're kind of at the point with how the season started. You need to start winning to bring fans back in the following week. So, you know, like I say, Ag Day will pull well no matter what. Homecoming will do decent, but you need to start winning to keep getting people involved. I'm hoping the student show, they packed Moby for that first volleyball sellout a week or so ago. That's a great sign that the students are still really engaged in athletics. But again, at some point, you're going to have to start winning. So I think we'll get a decent crowd Saturday, but after that, kind of result-based.
Well, let's see if they can get one against Sacramento State. Kevin, I know we're going to break into that game in more detail today inside Rams Weekly, so I'm looking forward to seeing you and Mr. Abshire later on this afternoon.
Yeah, it should be great. It's feeling very football-y outside.
Oh, I love it. Let's just stay like this for a while. I would be very cool with that.
Cool. Good ball joke.
You got it, Kevin. That's why this works, man. That's why this works. Kevin, we'll see you later this afternoon, man.
Sounds good. See you in a while.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. He gets me. He gets me, Angel. That was a great joke, and he caught it. I didn't know. I didn't know if he'd be ready for it, but he got it. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. Who's the bigger star in Colorado? Nikola Jokic, Nathan MacKinnon, or is it Russell Wilson? And I don't, like, Nathan and Nikola, like, they've already brought stuff. And I think Russell's going to bring stuff to you. This debate's probably going to be more fun In a year or two or three, maybe, hopefully. Hopefully we're not talking, like, it's just between Joker and MacKinnon at this stage. People are really scared of the 7-year deal, like having Russell Wilson for 7 years. It's crazy to me because I don't think Russ is the problem. We'll talk about that in more detail. Is Wyoming good? Are the Cowboys good? They beat up on Air Force. I mean, I know Air Force got the lead late, but Titus Swen. Dude, we got to get that guy on the show. Let's get that guy on the show. All right. 11:49 the time. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Man, I have so much TV and stuff to catch up on, Angel. I don't have HBO anymore, so I need to get into the new Lord of the Rings thing, the dragon one. House of Dragon?
Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones?
Oh, both. They're both
two
the same.
Very different
they're
shows.
They're both medieval fantasies. You're right. Game of Thrones. House of Dragon?
House of the Dragon.
House of the Dragon.
The House of the Dragon.
The House of the Dragon. And I did start watching the Lord of the Rings stuff.
I started it.
I was a big Lord of the Rings guy. Yeah, that came out like the movies came out with like when I was in high school. And then I went back and read all the books, liked it. That was good. I don't know. I'm still not 100% sold. We'll see how that goes. But I'm seeing all these things on social media about the House of the Dragon. It looks so good.
It's very good.
Ugh. Are they going to rip your heart out, though? Are they going to do this? Like, hey, here's four seasons of greatness, and then we're going to, you know, the hell with you guys.
It's interesting how they're doing it. So the two of the main characters, the princess and then her friend, they're played by these younger characters because it's kind of set when they're teenagers. And then they just hit the halfway point of the season, and now they're doing a 10-year time jump. And those two actresses, among others, are being changed out. So you get attached to these you know, actors and these characters, and then they change the actor, and you're like, I don't know if this is going to be the same, because you're looking like, oh, this character was like that. 10 years later, she's like this, and it's just a whole different thing.
That's risky, man.
It is very risky.
Because
the younger girls did a great job.
Well, I don't like 10-year jumps in TV shows. Movies make
sense.
There's
like three time jumps in the first five episodes.
I don't like time jumps. Like, look at, The Walking Dead. Did you see that one? They time jumped after Rick left, and they was like...
That's when I stopped.
That got so bad. It's still going.
I think they're coming up on their last season this year.
One of the dudes had a pet tiger.
Yeah.
Zombie apocalypse happens, and now we're raising tigers?
That was cool.
To defend us? Like, I mean, it's bizarre, but I have some I have some TV to catch up with for sure. But it's hard. It's football season. I may not get to it until Christmas. And Christmas Day, we all know what's coming then. Nuggets, Broncos. Wow. I may not get to these for a while, Angel. So no spoilers, please. All right, we'll be right back. David Sobolczyk with UNC coming on. A big weekend for the Bears. We're going to talk to David, Senior Associate AD in External Operations, next about the big homecoming festivities for UNC. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.